results and bad consequences. Freedom of choice is one of the biggest flags that is waved here in this country. Choice of life versus choice of abortion. Choice of religion versus choice of atheism. Choice of scandals or choice of honesty. Choice of live-in relationships versus choice of marriage. And one of you this last week forwarded me a quote from Bruce Willis, a famous movie actor, that he made back in 1998. He gave this interview, and here's a couple brief excerpts from this interview quote. Bruce Willis says, quote, "Organized religions in general, in my opinion, are dying forms," he says. "They're all very important when we didn't know why the sun moved, why weather changed, why hurricanes occurred, or volcanoes happened. Modern religion is the end trail of modern mythology. But there are people who interpret the Bible literally. Literally. I choose not to believe that's the way. And that's what makes America cruel, you know?" End quote. Much of America seems to think that freedom of choice is equivalent to freedom from consequences. Freedom from restrictions. Some even agree that freedom of choice is freedom from God's way of life, from God's laws. Those are very sad conclusions. We each make thousands of choices each and every day. Some little ones, we make little choices, who to talk to, what clothes to wear, whether I use that perfume or this perfume, what phone calls we take, what speed we drive, whether we stop fully at stop signs or if we kind of roll through them as we make that right-hand turn. Others of our choices, other decisions that we make, other choices are larger choices. They have to do with the quality of our work, what kind of effort we put into our jobs, the amount of study perhaps that we put into our schooling, the effort of our relationships, how we treat one another, words that we choose to say to one another. Those are some bigger choices that maybe we make each day. Actions from our choices yield consequences, though. And that's a hard statement that much of America and even much of the world doesn't like to subscribe to. They want to have the choice without some of the consequences. And they even build legislation and other restrictions around the idea that choice can be without consequences. Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. The book of Galatians here, Paul is writing to the church there, Galatia, and chapter 6 of verse 7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, he says, "Let him who has taught the word share in all things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." One of the foundational concepts of human life is that which we sow is what we reap, choice and consequences. And yet, here in America especially, we don't necessarily like the statement, do we? America is full of choices, full of freedoms, and we oftentimes want to disconnect choices with consequences. The Hebrew prophet Hosea looked at the sad spiritual condition of the kingdom of Israel, and he wrote about it, wrote about the idolatry, the violence, the immorality that was so commonplace. He wrote about those there in Hosea chapters 2 and 4. Within a few years, the mighty Assyrian Empire would sweep in from the west and lay the kingdom of Israel to waste, slaughtering thousands and enslaving the few survivors. God revealed to Hosea what was coming and why it was coming. In Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, I'll just read a couple of verses to you. Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, Hosea writes, "They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind." Again, this cause and effect, this scenario of choices leading to consequences. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 13, "You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies." Again, these things are happening to you because of what you have done or what you have not done. It was inevitable that the people's sins would catch up with them. our world that we live in, specifically here in this country, we reject the concept of cause and effect. We simply try to write it off. We reject the idea of choice and consequences. Again, we like the choice. We love the freedom of choice. We like that we can choose whatever we want and make decisions. Oh, I like that color. I like that shape. But sometimes we fail to step back and realize the consequences that many times go along with our choice. Our society says, you want to have sex? Have it now. Go for it. Don't wait for marriage. You want to have something else now? Go for it. There's no need to save for it. Don't plan for it. Just go and splurge. Make it happen. You want that girl or that guy? Position yourself. Make it happen. Hurt others if necessary. You know, do whatever you have to get what you want. Dating is not necessarily a means to find what kind of person you want to marry in today's society. Dating scenario has largely been corrupted. People date to have relationships. They revel in the emotions that come from those actions. Even finances. Credit card debt we know is at a all-time high. Credit card companies are parking themselves at universities and getting young adults to sign up for them when they clearly don't have jobs. They clearly don't have the means to pay them back. But it doesn't matter. Consequences are separated from choices and decisions. Even food choices and diet options. You eat what you want now and worry about working it off later at the gym. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, here's the story of the rich young ruler. Matthew chapter 19, this young individual comes up to Jesus and poses a very interesting question. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, he inquires, he says, what good thing should I do that I may have eternal life? I want to have eternal life, so tell me, what choice do I need to make? What choices do I need to make so that I can have eternal life? Jesus, after answering another part of his question, responds specifically to this one toward the end of verse 17. He says, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. Okay, that's a choice. That's a decision here. Jesus is passing on to this young individual and saying, if you want to enter into the kingdom, then you have to keep the commandments. And in verse 18, he asks for some clarification. Verse 20, this young man says, okay, I've done all that. Those choices I have made, I have made good decisions as it relates to that. What else? What else is there? Verse 21, if you want to be perfect, Jesus says, go sell what you have and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven and come follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. It can be relatively easy to keep certain aspects of God's law. Maybe going to church is easy. We have friends here. It's nice to socialize. Not working on the Sabbath, certainly going to the feast, that's a really easy one. You know, we all love going to the feast, saving 10% of our income and being able to blow 10% of our income within, you know, 8 or 9 days. Not eating certain food, you know, pork and shellfish and other things. Those decisions perhaps are easy for us to make. Verse 22, though, brings in the fact that choice is difficult, though. Choice can be difficult. And for this young man, he had limitations on his choices. He would choose God's way of life up to a certain point. And then from there on, it's too difficult. Too much effort. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Choice is presented to each of us, whether we're young or old or middle-aged or kids or no kids or grandparents or still in school. Choice is presented to us, to each one of us, and we individually have choices to make throughout the day, throughout our lives. This topic is directed primarily at our youth today, here on our Youth Sabbath, but it can be applied to all of us, to the adults as well. My main question for us to consider today, especially our youth, regardless of your age, is what consequences will your choices have? What consequences will your choices have? We'll all have choices. Some of you will be starting back into school here in the next couple weeks, and you'll be exposed to people that use words that your family, your parents don't like you to use, and concepts that maybe your parents aren't keen on. Concepts and philosophies and things that are contrary to God's way of life. We each have choices to make, and we each are presented with thousands of choices a day, some little, some big. So what consequences will your choices have? God desires for you, young people, and for the adults to stay focused on Him. He wants us to make choices that are going to align ourselves with the kingdom, with His family, with His thinking and His mentality. I have a soda can. Not for sure if it'll stay up here or not, if it'll balance. It's just a regular old tin soda can. The choices we make, though, bring consequences. They bring consequences. We rarely sometimes look at the potential consequences when we're deciding choices. A choice will be presented to us, and it seems like in the split moments of a second, we kind of run through scenarios and we actually make our decision. We say something, we react in a certain way, we go off and we do something. But how often do we actually look at the consequences of some of our decisions? When we make decisions, depending on what that decision is, if it's not a good decision that aligns us with God's kingdom, then it's like putting a nice little dent into our can. Some dents are relatively easy to pop out. They kind of snap back in place and, you know, for the most part, looks like a normal can again. Maybe the effects are not too bad. It's mostly safe. This can still has a little crease here. But for the most part, it looks normal, just like it would have come out of your refrigerator. Over time, though, our decisions and choices maybe lend to more dents and more creaks and cracks and issues with our can. More questionable choices, leading then to consequences that's denting our can, denting our life, our character. Whether it's sex before marriage, bad relationships in general, being selfish, dents are hard to pop out. And even if they're small dents, they still leave a crease. There's still something there that's left behind. Each of you as youth live in homes that teach God's way of life. You're being called by God Himself. And each of you, along with parents and friends and others in the congregation, we have the tools and opportunities to grab a hold of God's blessings, to grab a hold of this way of life. God has taught us. He's teaching us. He's given us the instruction book. He's given us the Bible. We have the opportunity to take hold of those blessings. Satan, however, sells us a lie, and he's very, very good at it. Because he sells the idea that choices can come with minimal, if any, consequences. That our life as a soda can, if we want to continue this analogy, our life as a soda can, we can go and make whatever decisions and choices we want, and we can avoid consequences. And our can still come out beautiful and pristine and clean. But it's such a lie that Satan sells. Because many of our choices do have consequences. And they do dent our can. You can't have what you humanly want now and expect God's blessings. We can't go through life ignoring God's way of life, but then wanting to sit back and say, oh, where are the blessings? God bless me. Adam and Eve bought the lie. Lot's wife, whatever her name was, she bought the lie. And Satan wants you and me and your mom and dad and friends and family in our congregation, Satan wants us to buy the lie too. He wants us to ignore the possible consequences that may come with that choice. Turn with me back just a few pages to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, here's a verse that I am very fond of. I tend to quote it quite a bit. Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33, gives us a nice directional as far as where our life should be pointed. Again, whether we're in school, in college, out of school, retired, this is the focus, this is the direction that we should have each individually in our life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what we should be seeking. That's what all of our decisions should be focused around and based on. This is the choice that God desires for each of us to make. And as youth, we must realize that there are consequences to our decisions. Jesus Christ here says to seek first the kingdom, to choose a government that's not recognized by any other human organization, to seek something that is spiritual, something that is more important than anything on this earth. The word for seek here in verse 33 is a Greek word that means eagerly yearn for or can't wait for something. You're excited about something, butterflies perhaps buzzing in your stomach. I remember growing up as a kid, every once in a while, my mom and dad would take us down to Florida. My grandparents lived in Florida, and either on the way there or on the way back, sometimes we'd stop off at Disney World. And it was fantastic. And the night before, you just can't sleep. I couldn't sleep. I'd have butterflies in my stomach, and I felt all nauseated, even though I probably wasn't. But I was excited for the next day to go and see that big golf ball looking thing with the roller coaster inside and all kinds of neat things there at Disney World. This is that word seek, to eagerly yearn for something, to be excited about something, not just to be ho-hum, this is mom and dad's church, and oh, I gotta go to church on Saturday and I can't eat that and I shouldn't use those words, but to eagerly seek first the kingdom of God, to be excited for it. To be excited for God's way of life is something that he wants each of us to have. Decisions that are associated with that, decisions that are not associated with this verse can dent our can, can wrinkle our can. Now, all decisions have choices. Have consequences. Some of our choices can have good consequences. I can choose tonight to have dinner, and the consequence is I will be filled and warm and full. That's a good consequence from a good decision. There are also bad consequences, though, that come from bad decisions, bad choices. And through those, then, dents can be added to our can. And our can then can slowly become deformed to the point that if we saw it in the store, we would say, there's no way I'd want to buy that can. It's damaged. It's ruined. If those choices, though, are based on biblical principles, on God's way of life, then our can have fewer dents. It can have less dents. It can be a happier life, a more dent-free life, if you want to say it that way. As we get older, we become baptized, we become committed to God's way of life, then repentance comes along. We begin learning about it. And we begin praying about it. And God grants that repentance and forgives us of our sins. Those times when we've gone contrary, we've made choices and decisions that are not right according to God's way of life. Through that process, then, our dents can be popped out. And our can, for the most part, look normal again. It can be round. It can hold liquids, it looks fairly normal. But again, there's still little impurities. There's still creases in this tin. Through repentance, God will forgive the sin. But those consequences, he never promises to take away. The sin itself can be forgiven, but the consequence may still remain. God never promises to remove the consequence of a sin. And just like putting dents here into our soda can, we can pop those out, but the consequence is still there. The effect of That denting is still there. The sin itself is forgiven, but the dent may remain. God wants us, however, to look forward. He wants us to make plans. He wants us to set goals. He wants us to have a happy life now, physically. But he also wants us to be focused on our kingdom, on his kingdom. And he wants the decisions and the choices that we make to not only lead and guide us through this life, but lead us into his kingdom. Let's go over to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a very fascinating book. If you're ever stumped as far as what to study, or if you ever want to read something one day, but you're not sure where to start, Proverbs is a great place to go. Proverbs is, on one hand, a very easy book to study because you can look on the calendar, see what today is. Today is the 10th. So you could turn to Proverbs chapter 10 and read Proverbs chapter 10. And you could read through that chapter today then and think about it. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and your typical month has 31 days. It's a nice correlation. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 22, though. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. We're bombarded by decisions and choices throughout each and every day. Before we act and make a choice, we should stop and analyze what consequences may come from that decision. Solomon here, the wisest man who ever lived, said in verse 3 here of Proverbs chapter 22 that a wise man, a prudent man, foresees evil. That means he stops and he ponders what he's about to do. He ponders what words he's about that are about to come out of his mouth. He stops and he thinks about his decisions and his choices and what he's doing to relationships and people around him. He stops and he foresees any sort of evil. And if it's present based on his actions, then he hides himself. He doesn't do it. As Solomon often does, though, in the book of Proverbs, it's one hand versus the other. On the opposite side, then, the simple, the end of verse 3 here, the simple pass on and they're punished. They run blindly into decisions, and consequences come, and they end up denting and damaging their can. Let's know this and realize this, though. Every choice has a consequence. Every choice has a consequence. Our job is to determine if that consequence is good for us or if it's bad for us. Sometimes we make choices based on emotion or kind of this knee-jerk reaction. Somebody will say something, invite us to something, we'll want something, and it's like we're kind of on autopilot, and we kind of have this knee-jerk reaction, and the decision's made, and the choice is out there. It can be difficult because we can't ever go back and make that first choice, that first decision over again. That same scenario may keep coming around throughout our life, and we can choose the next time not to make the same decision. But we can't ever go back to that first time. Our can becomes dented by bad decisions, resulting then in bad consequences. Let's go over to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62 shows in my mind how clear God's way of life is and the actual magnitude of following, obeying God's way of life, his laws. Luke chapter 9 verse 62, Jesus Christ says, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." We can't make choices out of fear. We can't say, "Oh, I have to do that because God says so. And if I don't do that, then he's going to whatever, hate me, cut me off, kick me out, disregard me." We shouldn't be making choices and decisions out of fear, out of what we're afraid of or what God may do to us. That's not the kind of relationship God wants to have with each of us. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. This ties back in with what we read over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, that we should be seeking first. We should be eagerly yearning for God's way of life, God's kingdom. And we can't do both. We can't eagerly yearn for it, but then consciously be doing things that's denting our can. The Greek word here for the word looking means to perceive or to regard or to take heed. So again, it stands in contrast to Matthew 6:33, where we're to be eagerly yearning for God's kingdom and God's way of life, but yet looking back and regarding something else, regarding other decisions, other choices that we wish we could make. The theme for the teen camps this year was remember your Creator. It's taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. If you'll turn over there with me, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes is after the book of Proverbs, just before the book of Song of Solomon. The very last chapter here of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. We read, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. When you're young, make sure that relationship is there. Make sure you know why you should be going to church on the Sabbath. Make sure you understand what the Sabbath is about. Make sure you know about the holy days. Make sure you understand those great two commandments about loving God and loving your man and what those really mean. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. The context here of this verse is not that you have no pleasure in the days of your youth. The context of the verse here is that you have no pleasure in the days because now you're grown up and difficult times have come. You have no pleasure in those days as an adult because those days are hard and they're long and they're difficult. That relationship with your Creator can still come, and it does come, has come for many of you. But the encouragement here is to remember your Creator when you're young. Develop that relationship when you're young. Ask those why questions when you're young. It's those days when a relationship with God then provides hope and peace because you've established that back when you were young, when you were younger. And so as you get older and those days get harder, then that hope and that peace is there, that comfort. That relationship begins today for each of us. This relationship, regardless of our age, begins now. Remember now, today, your Creator here on this Sabbath day. You know, there was a commercial that aired some time ago. I think it was an insurance commercial where their slogan was, life comes at you fast. I remember they had several different versions of the commercial, and one particular one that I remember showed a dad swinging his little boy on a tire swing. And on the backstroke of the swing, you see this little baby kind of gooing and gawing. And on the forward stroke, you know, he's a full-grown boy and smacks his dad, knocks his dad over. And then the insurance slogan comes on, you know, life comes at you fast. The choices that we make now will come at us fast, and they'll have consequences for our future. And God desires that we establish the proper way to make choices and the proper relationship with each other, with our parents, with our family, with our friends, with our God especially, that those should be established now, properly now. And that those good choices can be exercised now and can be tested now. Go with me, if you will, over to the book of Revelation, very last book in the Bible, very last chapter in the Bible, Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. Revelation 22 and verse 14, we read, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. This is the future that's available for all of us. Again, whether we're 8 or 18 or some age older, This is the future that awaits for us. If we are making the choices that align us with God's kingdom, then this verse is available to us. Once we grow and mature and we get baptized and we commit to God's way of life and those sins are forgiven and we can take our relationship with God to the next level, so to speak, this is what's available and this is what God wants to give to us. This is a result of godly choices that culminate with godly consequences. Godly choices of obeying His commandments result in a consequence of being able to enter into the tree of life. Choice and consequence. Good choice, good consequence. Right here in verse 14. Verse 15 is the opposite. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I think this verse is interesting because it takes some really big concepts, some concepts that we think, oh, that's surely not me, and I have no part with sexually immoral or murderers. But yet it comes full circle and concludes with whoever loves and practices a lie, something that our society seems to do all the time, little white lies and little twists of the truth. This is bad choices with bad consequences. Verse 15. Bad choices leading to bad consequences. And the consequence is the second word here, at least in my Bible. It's the word outside. You're not inside. You're not with the tree of life. You're outside. You're out there someplace where God isn't. Which verse will you do? Which verse will you do? Which verse will apply to me? Will I make good choices that lead to the blessings in verse 14? Or will I consistently make bad choices that damage my can and cause issues in my life to the point that I land, as verse 15 said, outside? Which verse will you do? Will you ask questions and learn about God? Will you test Him? Testing God is okay. He wants us to test Him. He wants us to ask questions and prove His way of life. Or will we take the easier, somewhat easier route by compromising God's laws, by compromising and justifying our actions and saying, yeah, it was okay for me to do that because of this over here. I think each of us already know which direction we want to go. Subconsciously, we each know which direction we're going. Now, it's interesting that all of our youth here were born in the church, if my recollection is correct. All of our youth were born in the church. By the time each of our youth graduates high school, they will have attended roughly 1,300 Sabbath services. And that includes holy days and feasts. Somewhere between 1,300 and 1,400 services, worship services. Added to the top of that would be perhaps several preteen camps or teen camps, many Bible studies, both teen-oriented Bible studies and just other regular Bible studies. Conversations with parents are hopefully occurring daily and regularly about who God is and why He created you. What are your plans for all of that interaction? That's a lot of interaction. So what kind of plans do you, youth, have for all of that? And even as adults, what plans do we have? I would shudder to think the number of services that I've attended. I was born in the church. It's got to be 4,000 services or so. I wonder what I'm doing with all of that interaction. What choices am I making based on that involvement? So with all this as a background, here's our take-home question for today. Here's the question I want to take that I'd like for you to take home and ponder over this next week. What choices are you making that is either wrinkling or crushing your can? What choices are you making that is either wrinkling, denting, or crushing your can. God wants you in His kingdom. God wants you in His kingdom, each and every one of us. We can't just hope for it. We just can't wake up one day and say, oh, won't the kingdom be great? I love it. Can't wait for it. But then go off and do things that end up, you know, damaging our can. We can't just hope for it, but then make choices that go in a different direction. It takes patience and faith and dedication, and those things and so much more end up leading to a fantastic reward of God welcoming us into His family. Something that we can't hardly comprehend. It's very difficult for us to comprehend what it's going to be like to live forever, to be a God being, to have creative powers, if that's what God wants us to do. Who knows? I mean, our human minds just can't comprehend it. It's difficult to comprehend what God has in store for us. Based on what we read in Scripture, thankfully, it's not sitting on some clouds strumming harps. Thankfully, it's not a boring existence along those lines. But God has something fantastic lined up for us, for you. Satan wants us to believe, though, that we can have it all now. The choices have consequences that don't matter. So in conclusion, I want you to remember your can. Remember your can. We each have them. And some of them may have some dents in them. Some of them may have the dents removed, but creases and indications still there. What choices are you making that's causing damage to your can? Will you go for what feels good now? What eases your burden now? What seems the simple and right way now? Too many of those kind of choices can literally crush the can. And if we crush it and mash it, sometimes our choices and consequences become really bad. And now we have this squatty, won't even stay on the lectern kind of a can. Through repentance, though, those actions can be forgiven. And we can take hope in that. And we can take comfort in that. But even through repentance, the effects of some of our decisions are still there. Again, God will wipe away those sins and will forgive that, take that penalty away. But some of the consequences may still be there. Let's turn for our last scripture back over to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Again, perhaps a familiar verse to many. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. A couple of verses here, verses 19 and 20, about choice and decisions and consequences and cause and effect. Deuteronomy chapter 30, let's begin in verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days. We each have two choices set before us. We can boil all those thousands of decisions and choices that we have throughout the day. We can boil them all down to two. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Some of our choices seemingly fall nowhere. You know, am I going to wear the blue shirt or the red shirt? Am I going to buy that car or this car? Or am I going to, you know, whatever. Am I going to decide to spiky my hair or am I going to comb it over? But ultimately, the big choices that we make, the actions that we have, the conversations we have, how we interact with our relationships, they boil down to these two choices. Life and death. Blessing and cursing. We generally know what to do in order to receive either one of those. If we could, you know, have an open table discussion and talk about choices that lead to either one of those, it would probably be fairly easy for us to fill each of those lists. We generally know what to do in order to receive life. And then generally we know what we could do if that would be deserving of death. One of the things in this verse that always smacks me is the very last part of verse 19. And whether we're married or not married, I think this is a very important point in regards to our future. The very last phrase there says that both you and your descendants may live. So this is where it starts to get a little heavy. Our choices not only affect us, but can also affect our future generations. They can affect the kids that we don't have, from the wife and mother that maybe we haven't even met yet. Our choices affect more than just us. They can have a lasting and a profound effect on somebody else's can down the road. These verses apply to all of us. If we're grandparents, if we're older, be patient. Keep on with the dedication toward God's way of life. Fully rely on Him all the way to the day that you die. I'd like you to read Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 if you're in that age bracket. This verse can apply to the young families who should be diligently teaching God to our kids throughout the day. If that applies to you, then read Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. If you're a young family with the role of teaching the next generation, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. And if you're young, whether that's literally or young at heart, ask questions. Test God. He wants you to do that. And for that group, I want you to go and read Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Malachi is the very last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, where he encourages you to test him, to prove him, to see if he won't do what he says that he'll do. Prove his way warts, and then commit to being a future king, a future priest in God's family. Each day ask God to lead you into his kingdom. He wants you to be spiritually successful. Make solid and good choices about caring and loving for others. Be diligent in what you read and study and what you allow into your mind and what you allow into your thoughts. Don't buy into Satan's lie. They're many, they're tricky, they're cunning, but it's a setup for failure. It's a setup for crushing your can and causing consequences, resulting in consequences that could be irreversible. Could lead to frustration, unhappiness, and over time, without God's involvement, Satan's influence will continue to crush your can flat. Rather, make a commitment, like we read back in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Set your goal on the kingdom. And then pray and ask God to help you get there, to help teach you and guide you and answer questions and reveal to him who he is. Ask for his help. Satan is selling you different ways that you can crush your can. He's selling different options for how to crush your can. Don't buy them. Don't let yourself get lured into them. God is absolutely real, and God wants you to be baptized one day. He wants you to fully commit to his way of life, because God wants you into his family. That's where he wants you ultimately. Youth and teens and parents and friends, let's be careful with our choices and the consequences that those choices bring. Let's protect our can.